Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As you heard in the newscast, Jimmy Kimmel back on TV tonight. Not all the affiliate stations will be carrying it, but Paul, my old friend, who's known as the pop culture ambassador who we hear on the network, Robert Thompson, a trustee professor, television, radio, and film at the Blyer Center for TV and Popular Culture at the great Syracuse University. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, and this is all about, licenses to broadcast. Who got the very first commercial license to broadcast in the United States of America?
Ding, ding, ding. That would be KDKA.
That would be KDKA Pittsburgh, indeed. 1920, at November 2nd, you turn what? 105.
Very good. That's why you're the ambassador of pop culture.
KDKA has been an answer on my exam for many, many years.
Well, we appreciate that. Boy, it's been a minute since we've talked. Robert, you're still doing what you do, your magic, and talking to Paul, our anchorman here, about what you said is ABC managed to hack off everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's more and more entertainment executives have this uncanny ability to just step in the stuff so ham-handedly. So they managed to really, really upset half the country when they took Kimmel off, and now they've upset the other half by putting him back on. And I think their net achievement in doing this has been virtually zero. I mean, they gained nothing from this. Everybody they made happy by taking Kimmel off, they've now taken that all back again. And now we're going to have to see the scrutiny on Jimmy Kimmel. I pity that guy because everybody from both sides of this whole argument are going to be parsing every word. I'm going to have to watch it on Hulu the next day because I'm in a Nexstar city. Nexstar hasn't announced that they're not playing it, but Sinclair said they're not playing it on their stations. And since Nexstar started this whole thing, I suspect they won't play them either.
Robert, what do you expect to hear from Kimmel tonight? I guess he is going to address the issue, but not apologize.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't heard from him at all. Unless I've missed it, I don't think we've gotten any word from him since this started on Wednesday. And, he's a tough guy too. For one thing, for a guy who is, in standard way, really, really sarcastic, this is a guy that started on The Man Show, for heaven's sake. He can get very sentimental. He broke into tears the day after the election. Certainly that famous broadcast after his child had such serious surgery. So he can get really sentimental, but at the same time, I think he is infuriated by this whole thing. And I think it was one of the reasons that they couldn't arrive on him coming back after the big Wednesday blow-up, is they couldn't figure out anything he was going to say that would not get ABC in trouble and all of that. So I don't know what he's going to say, but I think what he says is going to have a lot to do with how Sinclair and Nexstar respond. And ABC, if they don't put their stations running Kimmel again, are going to have to decide, can they survive without... I think, if I've got the numbers right, Sinclair has 38 stations, Nexstar has 32. That's what, 70 stations? So that's a big chunk of your network that would not be playing your program.
We're with Professor Robert Thompson, Syracuse University pop culture ambassador. That said, Do we have any idea how many people in protest of him being taken off canceled their Disney, Hulu, ESPN subscriptions?
No, I haven't seen numbers on that yet. John Stewart made fun of that last night about congratulations to all of you who pretended to cancel your Hulu. So I suspect with those things, a lot of people talk about that more than they actually do it because their kids want to watch Winnie the Pooh. And you need Disney Plus to do that. I know John Oliver on Sunday specifically called for people to do that as one of the ways that they could protest. I think probably Disney turned around and responded to this almost as quickly as they did the first time, namely because that big petition, what, 400 names of big shot Hollywood types that Disney and ABC have to work with and depend upon. They had that big petition, union members, protesters, but also political leaders, including two very vocal Republicans, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, spoke strongly out about this. And I think that the combination of all of that, and then just the fact that this became the biggest story out there, and it really did become about free speech and all of that kind of thing. I think they buckled just like they buckled the first time around back on Wednesday. But when they said indefinite suspension, to me, indefinite sounds ominous, sounds like a long time.
Right.
And he was on last Tuesday night. This is less than a week. He made the controversial comments on Monday. Nobody heard anything about that except some people were whatever. But anyway, went back on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is when everything hit the fan and the FCC chair made his comments and others decided not to do their stations and all that kind of thing. So 1 week ago tonight, he was on the air. And by gosh, he's going to be on the air again tonight.
If you were asked by ABC, if you were going to advise them on how to handle this whole controversy, what would you have suggested?
Well, I mean, I guess there is the ethical answer, and then there is the business answer. I mean, I guess ABC is a business, and one of the problems with deregulation is that these companies are able to own an enormous amount of stations, and when one company owns an enormous amount of stations, those companies can really influence power on ABC. They depend upon those companies that own those stations. So their decision, I think, was a business thing. Our stations are mad. We're going to respond to them. So that's what they did. I personally, from an ethical standpoint, think that when we get these threats, and they're going to come, politics and culture and business are going to be constantly battling it out. And when they come, I think places like ABC and I think CBS before them really need to stand up to it. I mean, Brendan Carr made those statements. ABC could have taken that to court, could have made the argument that you can't put that kind of influence on, you know, people who are that limits and chilling effect on their speech. Or they could have waited till Brendan Carr actually did start the procedure of taking license away, and then they could have brought that to court. I think they wanted to avoid all of that because that would disrupt or potentially disrupt business. So they just took what they thought was going to be the easiest way out. As it turned out, it wasn't so easy, and I think that's why Kimmel's back on again. But now they're right back where they started with their with the people who liked the decision to take him out.
One thing's for sure, we'll all know what he says tomorrow morning. I'm not going to be up that late, but we'll have it first here in the morning, and it'll be interesting because a lot of people have pointed out, Robert, under the FCC, under private business, free speech has a different connotation than just speaking your mind in the streets.
Yeah, it's and of course this was not a First Amendment issue yet. I mean, maybe that what Carr was saying he shouldn't have said, but so far the government is not the one that took Jimmy Kimmel off the air, or for that matter, the one that canceled Colbert. It was his own bosses. In both cases, these networks did not, and I don't think network television in general has any appetite anymore to fight these things, which means I think these kinds of comedians are going to end up taking their jokes and playing elsewhere, and they won't be the first to have gone. In my prediction, Fallon will be the only one left, because he does the old Johnny Carson, pretty much inoffensive, pretty light, unaggressive kind of stuff. There was only one late night show back in 1954 when The Tonight Show started, and it could be that we are headed back for that again. I think Fallon can kind of avoid a lot of this controversy because he is a much less pointed political satirist. He's not a political satirist at all.
Professor, always great to catch up. It's been a while. Let's not make it so long. We'll have you back. Thank you.
I'll look forward to our next conversation. Thanks.
Professor Robert Thompson, Syracuse, the ambassador of pop culture.
Well, I can tell you, Larry, whenever we have a story that deals with something exactly like this, the first person I go looking for sound clips from is Professor Thompson.
Yeah, he's been studying this stuff, and it'll be interesting to see what he says tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy, we'll find out.
Ira Rush in studio from the newsroom.
I am here. I am here.
You're giving me that look.
Say this word with me.
Okay.
Acetaminophen.
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 I did.
Okay.
Didn't I?
Just wanted to make sure you knew.
Oh, I know what acetaminophen is. Tylenol.
Tylenol. I am just going to say this, and I'm going to move past it. I watched the president yesterday, and myself, as I sat there, I was infuriated, upset, nervous, scared, afraid, worried, and I think we all should be. But to have an administration where there are women in this administration to allow something like this to happen is very, very, very scary.
Who's gonna say no?
Well, somebody needs to say something at some particular time. I think I will. I mean, it's crazy to me. I mean, we are in some trying times right now when you have an administration and you have women on the administration, but they don't say something. Someone has to say something. The majority have children, have kids. I mean, we've all been down this road. I have three kids myself, so I can speak on it. I am a woman, so I can speak on it. But to have an administration that would allow something like this to happen, it's worrisome. We should all be afraid. Our kids, our daughters, our grandkids, we should be afraid right now. This is crazy speak. This is very, very dangerous. And women in our country, it kills me, Larry, that we are always put in position that we have men to speak on behalf of what women should do with their bodies. Moving on. Las Vegas, do you like to gamble?
No.
You don't like to gamble?
Here's what my dad said at a young age. Why do I want to work so hard to earn a dollar to just give it to somebody else?
Well, Las Vegas is on sale. The casinos there, they're trying to bring people back to Las Vegas. So they have a sale on their hotels and shows. And I mean,
so they're having
economy.
All these sales. They used
yeah.
to have these big buffets, but I heard they cut back since COVID.
No, the sale runs through Friday, September 26th. You can find all the special offers in the deal by heading to the Visit Las Vegas website. So if you want to get away from all this madness and enjoy and kick
go
back,
to
you
Vegas.
Can go to Vegas and spend all your money.
Just go downtown to River.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I mean, that's probably an issue and concern too, Larry. A lot of cities, they have their own casinos now. So no, why would you travel to Las Vegas when we have our own here? We have
Washington.
That's why
they have all these superstar shows. They have to develop other attractions, like the Sphere is drawing people to Vegas. They have sports teams now.
Yes.
NFL, NHL, and soon MLB. And who knows what next, NBA. So they're trying to pull all
the... They got to market some kind of way, right?
Yeah.
I guess. Trick or treat. Are you ready for Halloween? Are you giving out candy? Do you give out candy?
I don't believe in it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness. I'm 0-3 today
yes,
with you.
We do.
Just you should have just told me not to come in today. I told you when I sat down, I was on fire. I was off yesterday. I wasn't feeling well. So I'm back.
Well, apparently you're feeling much better.
But anyway... Candy, the tariffs on candy is going up. So an average, they said last year, a 48-count box was of treats, candies, was $40. This year, it's well over $50. So some people are going to turn their porch light out for Halloween.
Chocolate is through the roof.
Absolutely.
I'll never forget going past a famous athlete's house with the kids, and there was duct tape on the doorbell that said, "No candy here."
Thanks, Larry.
That's what trending with T.
All about.
All right.
See ya.
Morning show. One of our top local stories is big plans for a Pittsburgh public safety campus on the old Veterans Hospital site that you see up on the hill across Route 28 down there. And in studio is Deputy Mayor and Director of Office and Management and Budget, Jake Pollack. Jake, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Larry.
And by the way, full disclosure, you can be seen on our live stream.
Gotcha.
Just so you know.
Thank you.
At kdkradio.com. Appreciate you coming in, though. This is a big deal because City Council unanimously passed the vote to get this thing started, which is $1.8 million to put a site plan together.
Right.
168 acres. Some
it's
of that
site.
Unusable, but that's huge.
It is. It's a very large piece of land. You can't find sites that large anywhere else inside city limits, obviously.
Right, especially in a city. I didn't realize, though, that hospital, that facility is not being used.
Yeah, it's a whole campus, right? So it's not just one hospital building. It's a large series of buildings. There are buildings that were hospitals, buildings that were support facilities. And it's been closed for many years. The city acquired it in and about, the process started in 2017. I think we finally fully took possession in 2020, but the process has been going on since then, but it's been unused for a long time.
But the clock is ticking on that because you have to have a plan in. So to get this thing going, if it were to be streamlined, let's say best case scenario, when would you be able to turn it into this Pittsburgh Public Safety campus?
Right now, our best projections say that would take at least 5 years. But we have to, we are under obligation to the federal government basically to keep the land. They sold us the land for a dollar, right? And in exchange for getting it at that price, we need to use it for a public purpose. There are a list of options. We selected public safety, right? So we need to be moving down the field, as it were, towards that. And the next step in that process is having a site plan. That identifies how we're going to utilize the space.
So give us kind of the elevator pitch on what this will become if all things work out and who will be best served by it.
Sure. So the baseline is that the city of Pittsburgh does not have adequate training facilities for any of our first responders. Right. We rent space from the CCAC for Police Training Academy. It's fantastic space, but it's not space we own and control. We have terribly outdated facilities, frankly, for our fire bureau.
Was that down on Washington Boulevard?
It is.
Was that years ago?
That's still where
it's
is.
Still
it's
still there.
It's a combination of a very old building.
A tiny building,
some trailers, that we use there for temporary space, and a burn tower where they can do live demonstrations that we can't use, right? And then our paramedics and EMTs train in a tiny building. Many listeners will have seen it. If you're on Liberty Avenue heading into the city, there you'll see what you think of as a paramedic station because there's often an ambulance parked outside. That's actually our training facility, tiny squat building. That's the extent of our training space. None of it is up to the needs for the numbers we have or the types of equipment and training that we need to provide. And that's a legacy of when the city was in tough financial straits during Act 47 in the past couple of decades, right? When investments should have been made in those facilities, they weren't. And so the real consequence is a couple of things. One, either we don't have space we can use well, or two, we're sending folks out of the city to the county's training facility
up in North Park. Yeah.
Or renting space, which is, you know, a recurring cost, you know, that we don't have anything to show for in terms of, you know, real estate. So the plan for this campus is to build new combined training facilities for all of our first responders where they can have the facilities and the equipment and the modern training techniques that they need. Also, where they can train together, all the places I just mentioned are spread out across the city. They can participate in joint training exercises because, candidly, when you have, you know, a major incident, let's say we have a tractor trailer turnover, right? We need firefighters there if there's a fire. Rescue for something like a vehicle entrapment is provided by the paramedics, and of course, we need police there to secure the scene, manage traffic, right? So we need the ability to train all of our first responders together. And a campus that's designed for that purpose is going to provide that solution.
That said, the ticket, as I understand, to build out would be about $86 million.
That's our current best estimate.
Where would that funding come from?
Like any major investment in a facility like this, it would be bond funding, right? So we would issue bonds that would deliver that money upfront for the construction, and we'd pay them back over time.
This stretches back to the Peduto administration, at least the genesis. Right. You want to carry it through, but there'll be another administration. How does that work?
You know, any project like this is going to carry on for many years and likely cross multiple administrations. You're right. You know, it was the Peduto administration that worked out the initial deal with the federal government to purchase the site, and they put together the first plan for the campus. Theirs was a more expansive plan. It would have also included relocating a police station there, police headquarters there, a number of other facilities. And that, I think, that original plan, frankly, has been the source of some of the controversy about this. People are comparing it to things being built in other cities where you put all of, not just all of your training, but all of your sort of first responder facilities in one place. It also would have been far more expensive to think about moving all of those things to this site. So we've made some other changes, right? We've secured the ability to purchase our existing police headquarters, which we also currently rent, meaning we won't need to relocate that for the foreseeable future. And have scaled back, actually, if you can believe it, the $86 million price tag is a much reduced price compared to what it would have taken to build something that also included all those other components.
We're with Jake Pollack, Deputy Mayor, City of Pittsburgh. We'll have more in curious what the pushback is coming up on the Big K Morning Show.
Trump advised pregnant women not to take Tylenol.
Acetaminophen has been used for decades. In terms of alternatives during pregnancy, there really is no good alternative for pain and fever.
And a definitive link is unproven, but several researchers have conducted studies investigating a possible association between acetaminophen and autism.
Well, it's definitely touched off strong reaction. So we'll see where this goes.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
ABC reinstating the show tonight after suspending it due to Kimmel's incorrect comments about the man charged in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk.
So the interesting part is it's just a week later. We thought it might be much longer, but ABC said they've talked with him, yet they've suggested he's not going to apologize. So everybody's wondering, what's he going to say?
Right. And Pitt retiring Aaron Donald's jersey, Larry, during the Notre Dame game on November 15th.
Aaron Donald has been such a treasure. Penn Hills, Pitt, Super Bowl champ, giving back to the community. Good for him. That'll be a fun day.
This is the kind of career that he had just in college. He won the Bronco Nagurski and the Outland Trophies, both.
And a Super Bowl. And multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards, along with being a 9-time All-Pro. There Other you than go. That, what has he done?
Well, they said he was too small, right?
He's too small to play in college. He's too small to play in the pros. Just keep smiling, Aaron. And the AD, Alan Green, surprised him at his home in L.A., coordinated with his wife to be told, we're retiring your jersey. So good for Aaron Donald. Jake Pawlak is with me, deputy mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. We've been talking about this Pittsburgh Public Safety Campus, which will be a training center. And last night approved unanimously by city council to move forward with a plan, which costs $1.8 million. How long a process will that take, do you think, Jake, to do that?
We expect to have that plan back by late spring of next year, which will put us on target to meet a deadline to supply that to the federal government in June.
And then that meets the requirements to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
Have you heard from, well, you don't know who the next mayor is going to be for sure, or the administration. Mm-hmm. So how does that work where you would keep this on track beyond current administration?
Sure. So our goal is to leave the next mayoral administration in a position to move forward if they choose to. And we certainly think that these training facilities are necessary, right? But so we'll have commissioned the study. If this waited until next year, there wouldn't be enough time to complete the study. We'd effectively be making the decision for them, right? That it wasn't moving forward. So by starting this process now, they'll be on track to meet the deadline and continue from there. We'll also plan into the budget the funds it would take to construct the facility. Whether they ultimately greenlight that work will be their choice and city council's choice in the future.
What else is on your agenda?
Well, there's a whole lot that we're trying to finish before the end of the year. Work that we've started and been working on for the past 4 years that we want to bring to a close. We're really excited that also finally passed yesterday. We got the approval from city council to enter an agreement with Allegheny County and Pittsburgh Public Schools to bring the 11-year process of fully standing up the Pittsburgh Land Bank to a close. That agreement will mean that the land bank can utilize the sheriff's sale, which under the Pennsylvania Land Bank Act is really where a lot of its ability to move dead-end properties, tax delinquent, vacant and abandoned properties quickly through the process of clearing their title and selling them back to residents. That's been a very, very long saga.
Right? Yeah, a lot of red tape involved, but if it could be streamlined, it would help tremendously in getting some of these abandoned properties too back on the tax rolls in some way, shape, or form, right?
Exactly. And we've already done that with 90 properties in the past 4 years. When Mayor Ganey took office, not a single property had moved through the land bank. There was a lot of time lost in figuring out how the board members were going to work together and that sort of thing. We were able to get that process up and running. We invested resources from the American Recovery Act into it, and we've moved 90 properties with another 60 and going through the process right now. But we're only able to do some properties without this agreement with the county and the school district that sets rules for how we're going to work together to clear back taxes and use the sheriff's sale, which is much faster than the treasurer's sale. And that process is now fully approved. The agreement's going to be in place soon and will be underway, which is a very exciting thing for us to leave the city with.
Do you have time to stick around for a little bit? I want to ask you about the draft too.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many stakeholders involved. Kind of get an update on where we are, what we expect.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.